Psalm 104, when creation is more than scenery. Psalm 103 taught us to bless the Lord for forgiveness. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 104 turns and asks, what kind of God does such things with dust? He makes a world. This psalm is not sentimental nature writing. It is a quiet overthrow of idolatry. In the ancient Near East, the sea, storm, sun, and great beasts were feared as divine powers. But here, the Lord wears light like a robe, rides on the clouds, sets limits for the waters. And even Leviathan, that great sea creature men trembled before, is not God's rival, but God's plaything. That is one of the psalm's most liberating surprises. What the nations worshipped or feared, Israel learned to see as creaturely. Only the true God can make the terrifying become almost joyful. See Mokinya. The psalm also refuses the idea of a retired creator. Its verbs keep moving. He stretches, sets, sends, causes, makes. This is why Calvin loved such texts. Creation is not merely an event behind us, but a gift arriving every moment. Springs in the Wadis, birds nesting in Lebanon's cedar heights, wild goats on cliffs, rock badgers in crags, lions seeking prey by night, men going out to labour by day. This is not nature as modern Western people imagine it, a neutral background for human life. It is a house already occupied by God's generosity. And notice what he gives. Grass for cattle, plants for man, wine to gladden, oil to make the face shine, bread to strengthen. To older Protestant instincts, it is worth saying plainly, Psalm 104 is not suspicious of material joy. The world is not a trap for the spiritual life. It is a theatre of providence. We do not worship the gifts, but neither do we honour God by pretending they are small. The deepest moment may be verses 29 to 30. If God hides his face, creatures are dismayed. If he takes away their ruach, their breath, wind, spirit, they die. If he sends forth his ruach, they are created, and the face of the ground is renewed. That Hebrew word is wonderfully large. Breath and spirit are not two unrelated things. The same God who first animated Adam still sustains every lung, every field, every living thing. This is creation leaning toward new creation. The spirit of Genesis 1 is already the spirit of Ezekiel 37, and ultimately the spirit poured out by the risen Christ. Then comes the startling last note. May sinners vanish from the earth. Why end a creation psalm there? Because sin is not natural. It is the one thing in the world that does not fit. Creation obeys its boundaries. Rebellion does not. So the psalm ends where all true praise must end, longing not merely for a beautiful world, but for a holy one. Suggested cross-references. Genesis 1, Job 38:41, Ezekiel 37-1:14, John 1:1-3, Colossians 1:15-17, Romans 8:19-23. Hymn suggestion, worship the King. Prayer. Lord of light and sea and breath, teach me to receive the world as your gift and not my possession. Send forth your spirit to renew what is dry in me and make my life fit your creation again, grateful, obedient, and full of praise. Amen.